Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
Blood Puddle.
Fur Circus. Steven Ricker's testicles.
He butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary Filippula.
Filippuli.
Filippalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
That was totally wicked!
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And all right, here we go. Second hour. Amusement Park, 96.9, Wired. Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com. And welcome to Iceman Insights. Let's get the shenanigans underway. How you doing, Michael?
Wait. I wasn't paying attention. Did you say Wired?
Yeah, I said Wired.
Okay. Psst.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Okay. 14 seconds ago.
I was getting the script to you since you're so prepared.
I am always
prepared. I prepare
prepared.
This wonderful script for you
I
and you
so
leave it at the end of the desk.
Prepared. I don't even need a script.
Ah.
That's
it's all
where we're at.
It's all up in the Etch-A-Sketch, Brian.
It is all up in the Etch-A-Sketch.
I'm good, though.
Good.
Enjoying all the snow outside.
Isn't it wonderful? Went sledding today.
Did you really?
It. Yep.
You mean Tuesday?
Yes. Yesterday, Ivy and I and the neighborhood kids went sledding. So, a lot of fun.
Cool.
My kind of weather.
I don't
Though,
go.
I am interested to see this negative 11 tonight. That is going to be a dandy.
It's going to be chilly.
Yep.
The next couple nights.
Yep.
Yeah. You'll feel like
it's
you're
It's
been
in, a long time since I've seen negative 11. So
you'll feel like you've been in northern lower Michigan.
Yes. Oh, it's so nice. So, indeed, indeed.
Anywho.
Let's go. Iceman player makes it to the show.
Indeed. Ottawa Senators number one goaltender Craig Anderson remains out with a hand injury. He is still unable to grip a stick. Sounds like a personal problem.
But a bump.
With his blocker hand. And now their number two goaltender, Robin Lehner, is now also out with an undisclosed injury after a nasty collision with teammate Clark MacArthur.
Former Maple Leaf.
One of my favorite names in the NHL. MacArthur and a Carolina Hurricane ran into Lehner on Monday, and both Ottawa players were injured in the process. Andrew Hammond, who started the season with the Binghamton Senators, was called up to Ottawa when Anderson got hurt, and that's when Scott Grenham got called up to Binghamton from here. And now, with Lehner also hurt, Ottawa has recalled the only other goalie in the system who is under NHL contract, our very own Chris Driedger.
So awesome.
Indeed.
I'm so excited for him. He deserves it, too. After this season, what he's had to deal with and how well he's played, he deserves this.
More rubber than a Goodyear factory. I could have gone a whole other direction in that.
I appreciate
this
that.
This is Christian radio station.
That is
so
true. And you're already kind of graded up with your grip his stick line.
Keeping it classy, yep. So, yes, Driedger bypasses the AHL and goes straight to the NHL. He will serve as Hammond's backup tonight against the Montreal Canadiens. And in doing so, he will become the first Iceman player to ever dress for an NHL regular season game after playing in Evansville. There are eight different players who have played in the NHL before coming to the Iceman. Jeff Nelson played the most games. The other seven are Ty Wishart, Jeff Christian, Alan York, Stefan De La Rovere, Mario Larocque, Damian Serma, and long-lost Cal Heater. Driedger this season with the Iceman has an 8-25-2 record with two shutouts in 36 appearances.
Two shutouts is amazing. That translates to like 40 for a regular team.
A 375 goals against average and an 888 save percentage. He does sometimes struggle with rebound control and positioning, but he has not been by far the biggest weakness on this team. The Icemen are giving up over 33 shots per game, and he's actually faced over 30 in his 7 straight. And also tons of turnovers, odd man rushes, breakaways, golden power play opportunities galore. Just so many problems that are higher on the list than goaltending. I'm not saying that Driedger is a surefire NHL goaltender. In fact, I have doubts that he is. But you cannot write him off based on how this season has gone in Evansville, because this team has a myriad issues beyond the net.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think this team has any problems in the net. I don't care about a couple of bad games when this guy has. It's not only the number of shots, it's the quality of the scoring chances. I mean, it just, you're doomed to fail. You're set up for failure on this, as a goaltender on this club.
Yeah.
So, no, the goaltending is by far the strength of this team and of the Ottawa organization. And I mean, you just think a couple years ago, they traded away Ben Bishop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got a lot of talent. And then, of course, the whole Cal Heater situation as well. But, yeah, tons of talent. He's a fantastic goaltender. And we'll see how it all plays out during silly season.
Yeah. No indication yet how long he will be in Ottawa. Anderson is not believed to be close to returning, obviously, since he can't even grip a stick. And there has been no status given yet for Lehner, but initial reports out of Ottawa were that he was being treated for a concussion, which means minimum of 7 days and probably longer.
That's when you get into the protocol.
Yeah.
So.
Did you see the collision?
No, I have not.
It was pretty nasty. He took some of the contact to his arm, and it kind of whipped behind him. But more than anything, he got hit up high, and it sort of whiplashed him backwards. And I could see arm injury, shoulder, head, neck, back. Any number of things could have been injured in that collision. It was very, very nasty, because it was one of those where the Carolina player and MacArthur were both going full bore toward the net. The Carolina player was crashing the net, and MacArthur was trying to cover him, and they just, three bodies and the net all collided in rapid succession, and it was not good. But anyway, we'll see. He could get a few starts up there. The Sens have a fairly light schedule this week. They play tonight against Montreal and then again on Saturday. But next week they play Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday. 3 games in 4 days, including a back-to-back. So, and they have 2 more back-to-backs in March. So if he's up there for any length of time, he very well could get a start or three. And if he plays well, I'm not convinced that Andrew Hammond is the answer up there. So if he plays well and Hammond struggles, as he more or less has all season, including when he was in Binghamton, because when Anderson got hurt and he got called up, the Binghamton fans were happy that Hammond was gone. So we'll see. Driedger could get a shot. And if nothing else, I think it will benefit him to have some time with the Senators coaching staff. Their goaltending coach is longtime NHL goalie coach and former goalie Rick Wamsley. Whammer.
Yep. Calgary Flames.
Yeah. And that could very much benefit him long term, even if he doesn't see a single moment of action in an actual game. Just being there in that environment, getting away from this Iceman team for a little while, having a goalie coach that can help him fine-tune some of the fundamentals of his game that he can work on, I think it's definitely going to be good for him. We'll see if he ends up playing, but definitely a good thing for him and probably long-term for the Ottawa organization, because from their perspective, they also get a close look at how he's doing, how he's developing.
The one statistic that you surprised me with was, I didn't realize Stefan Delarovere played 7 games in the NHL.
Yeah.
Who did he play with?
Blues.
Did he?
Okay. They had, when he was in Peoria, they had a rash of injuries, and this was before they started to get better. They had a rash of injuries 1 year, and they had to call up like 3 or 4 guys from the AHL in short order, and he was one of them.
Got it.
So, yeah. 8 players have played, and Driedger could become the first. He will definitely become the first to dress, and whether or not he actually plays in a game remains to be seen. One other note about this is worth noting, he going to make some money.
Yeah.
That's one of the nice things for him, too, is I looked it up, and according to NHLNumbers.com, Driedger's contract pays him $730,000 a year in the NHL, which is, if you divide it out based on the number of weeks in the season, roughly $27,000 a week, which is more than a lot of ECHL players make in the entire season. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, the first thing, I'm sure the first thing he thought was, this is great, I'm going to get a chance in the show. And the second thing he probably thought was, cha-ching. So yeah, pretty cool. We'll see.
Yep,
we'll see what happens.
And that would be awesome if you got a chance to actually get in the crease. So
yeah,
that would be sweet.
Definitely.
Injuries, and more injuries. Another transactions too.
Yeah, we begin wrapping up the last 2 weeks with the Vincent Arsenault hit list. Arsenault is the Indy Fuel player who took out Zach Curry in Indy on January 24th. And then he took out three more Iceman players in just two games last weekend, February 6th and 7th. He was handing out concussions like Oprah giving out gifts to her audience. You get a concussion! You get a concussion! Everybody gets a concussion! Jim McKenzie, Dan Sova, and Bo Driscoll all knocked out with illegal hits to the noggin by Mr. Arsenault. McKenzie is now on injured reserve and is out indefinitely. Thankfully, Sova and Driscoll are doing better and are in their return-to-play part of the protocol. Patafi said they both could return this week, maybe as early as tonight in Cincinnati. And for his efforts, Arsenault was suspended two games by the ECHL. Do you think that is fair? Two games for knocking three guys out.
That's all you can do. I mean, so they follow a system, and if he'll be a repeat offender, then they'll start tacking him up, and that's when we'll start seeing the 8 games and the 10 games.
Yeah.
But you just can't
it
do
is,
it.
I mean, it is what it is at
it
this
is,
point.
Exactly. And, you know, he's going to get a reputation really quick, and the refs will be really quick to give him 5 in games and everything else. So I would never – the ECHL knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
And the ECHL is not – like, people complain about – the NHL because, well, Ovechkin gets away with it because he's a big marquee guy. We're in the ECHL. There's no television. People aren't going to turn on their TV because Arsenault isn't in the lineup because
right.
he's suspended. So there is no kind of pressure yeah. on the league to limit suspensions.
Yeah.
So they have to deal with the players union just like any other league, and they've got a system, and that's the way it is. So.
Yeah, given the system and what we see with other hits, I wasn't surprised it was only two games. I do think the NHL and all professional leagues are moving in the right direction when it comes to suspending and penalizing players for headshots. I think they've got a long way to go. I posted on the Asylum, I think the end game needs to be, and it's going to take time to get there if it ever gets there, I think the end game needs to be, if you are deemed worthy of a suspension because of an illegal hit that knocks someone out and concusses them, I think it should be you're out as long as that player is out. And if he never plays again, then you never play again. I think if you are willing to take a risk with someone else's career and livelihood, then you should be willing to take that same risk with your own. And until we get to that point, we're not going to completely eradicate these types of hits from the game.
Well, it's never going to get eradicated.
No.
Even if you do that.
Right. But it will greatly cut down on it.
I don't know. I mean, you go back to Guy Lepine getting the match penalty earlier on this season when he caught the player up high in the chin. So you turn that into a 7-game playoff series, and he hit a third-line forward or a 10th forward. And now this guy is concussed, and now Guy Lepine isn't going to play the 7 games.
You could get some gamesmanship where, teams would.
So you can't do it that way. It is what it is. Everyone's got a system, and they follow, and a shot to the head is 1 game or 2 games on your first thing, and that's just what it is.
Exactly, And to take that to the NHL, you could see, if say, Alexander Ovechkin hits a third-pairing defenseman up high in the playoffs, they could exactly do that thing where the team, he's got a concussion. He's going to miss the rest of the series. And
I mean,
now you got to sit Ovechkin for the rest of the series.
Yeah, well, or even in the regular season, Ovechkin hits and concusses a Toronto Maple Leaf. Well, Ovechkin's playoff career is over because he'll never play again in the playoffs because the Leafs will never get there. So, just doesn't work that way.
True. So anyway, in other transactions, Friday the 6th, Patrick Kennedy recalled by the Utica Comets in the AHL. Not surprising.
Nope.
Think he'll be back?
Nope.
Every time he goes up, we say no. We'll see. Also, Brent Troyan, who had been signed previously as E-Bug for the Iceman, was upgraded to a standard contract, which basically allows him to play in a game under non-emergency conditions if the coaching staff warrants it. He has not yet, to this point, played in a game. Saturday the 7th, Jordan Sims was re-signed as a result of all the Arsenault injuries. And also worth noting, Andre Bouvet-Morissette was shifted to injured reserve, retroactive back to December. There is still no timetable for when he will return. On Sunday the 8th, the Icemen signed three players out of the Federal League, which is always a recipe for success. Forward Andrew Harrison, defenseman J.D. Gordon, and Brent Denny. All three of them played on the 8th at Fort Wayne and then were released after that game, which did not go well, but we'll get to that in a little bit. In addition to the result of that game, the Icemen lost three more players to injury because the Arsenault injuries in the previous two games weren't enough. Miles Bell took a stick to the eye, suffered a scratched cornea. He is still suffering from vision issues and has not played since. He is considered week to week. Donnie Harris blocked a shot with his foot, has a fractured ankle, also has not played since, and is week to week. And with him missing time, Troy Rutkowski is now the only Iceman player who has played in all 50 games this season. And the third injury in that game was Colin Murray took a skate to the face. Talk about freak injuries in the same game. He needed 29 stitches but returned to the game and has played in every game since. And Patafi on Iceman Live last week told a funny story. He said, Murray comes back to the locker room and they're treating him. And he tells him, your face is cut open. You do not want to look at this. Whatever you do, do not go over and look at this in the mirror. So what does he do? He goes over and looks at it in the mirror. And his response to the image of his face being sliced open was, holy shapoop, will you take a picture of this for me?
Nice. There you go.
That's a hockey player for you.
Social media at its finest.
Exactly. Moving on Monday the 9th. The Icemen acquired veteran defenseman Travis Grenbois from the Wichita Thunder for cash considerations. He made his Iceman debut on Friday the 13th wearing number 17. So long, Matt Lowry.
Yeah.
Grenbois is a name we recognize. He's got over 400 pro games on his resume, including 294 with the Bloomington, Illinois, Prairie Thunder, Blaze, and Thunder. The official press release from the Icemen indicated that he was familiar with the Hoosier State because he played 294 games in Bloomington.
Ah, there you go.
Wrong Bloomington.
It is tricky.
Yeah. Grenbois is a guy who puts up points and PIMs. He had 30-plus points in four different seasons and over 100 penalty minutes in six different seasons. So we'll see how much he's got left in the tank at this point, but more than anything, the Icemen just need warm bodies.
Yep.
Another injury on Thursday the 12th. Peter Sakaris pulled a hammy in practice.
Because when it snows even more.
Yeah, so, that's the way things go with this team.
And he dressed this weekend but never actually took a shift.
Yeah, he was out there basically to serve penalties if need be. And I believe he did serve one bench minor for too many men or something. But anyway... So, yeah, Sakaris, add him to the injury list. Friday the 13th, Zach Curry was finally activated from reserve. He returned that night at Greenville after missing 10 games due to the separated shoulder that was given to him by Mr. Arsenault back in Indy. On Saturday, Valentine's Day, the Icemen signed forward Phil Buschbacher. He made his Icemen debut on Valentine's Day wearing number 21. He is a second-year pro with 45 ECHL games on his resume, mainly with the evil Cincinnati Cyclones.
Yep.
Tuesday, the 17th, Danny Hobbs officially returned to us by Binghamton. He's actually been here physically, skating with the Icemen for a while, but he was officially on Binghamton's roster because they had called him up for some sort of specialist treatment on his knee. But now he is officially back with the Icemen, and hopefully that means he will be returning soon. Patafi indicated he thought he would have a shot at returning tonight in Cincinnati as well. So we may finally be getting some guys back, not that they won't be replaced by more guys getting hurt the way this season's gone, but we'll see. So we are now over 150 man games lost to injury, and we are at 47 different players dressed for a game this season. That's with 22 games left. We're already beyond last year's total of 46 different players.
And we have one goalie.
Yeah, and we have one goalie. As of when we are live in the studio recording this. No word yet on who we will sign to fill Dreger's spot in net, but it is worth noting that the Cyclones released Brandon Kamm on Tuesday. We just so happened to be over in Cincinnati tonight,
And don't clean out the apartment yet.
Yeah, and we get first dibs on waiver wire players because we're last overall in the league. So perhaps by the time this airs, the Iceman will have already signed Com. Although it may not, they may not be able to officially announce it until the waiver deadline is 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So one way or the other, I would be very surprised if we do not go into this game tonight with Brandon Com in net.
It's going to be a rough game since he's trying to climb in and keep their playoff hopes alive and a very, very beat up and beat down Evansville Iceman Hockey Club.
Yes, very much so.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. The Maniac message board is the place to find the latest Iceman transaction and roster news. So, anyways, is there anything left since our last show?
There were some games.
Oh, well, like maybe.
You know, well,
in
yeah.
a sense.
Some of the Icemen showed up to play games. So keep in mind, you are supposed to play an ECHL game with 16 skaters. 16 being the operative number.
Yeah.
The Icemen played 6 games since our last show, and they finished those 6 games with 14, 13, 14, 12, 13, and 13 skaters. Notice none of those numbers were 16.
Yeah.
In fact, none of them were even 15. So for a team that was struggling already and now very shorthanded due to all the injuries, it should not come as a surprise to anyone that the Icemen lost all 6 of them. 4-3 and 4-1 against Indy at home, 6-2 at Fort Wayne, 6-1 and 6-3 at Greenville, and then 3-2 at South Carolina. In those games, the Icemen did get a few goals, believe it or not. Robin Sudek, still playing very well, had 4 of them.
Well, and that was the hope, too, that he would replace Jakob Sulek, and he's
doing pretty well.
Hockey.
Yeah. Brandon Wong and Troy Rutkowski had 2 each, and then Miles Bell, Daniel Johnston, Mark Anthoyne, and Phil Buschbacher in his Iceman debut also scored a goal. And as mentioned, the Iceman gave up 30 or more shots in all 6 of those games. Dreger did start all 6 of them and made, boy, this is a tough 2-week stint, 200 saves on 227 shots in the 2 weeks of action.
Yeah, that's a lot of shots.
That's a lot of rubber. So the Icemen are now 4-25-4 since December 1st and 12-32-6 on the season. We are now officially DFL, which, as we mentioned last show, is dead effing last.
Dead freaking last.
In the 2018 league. We have 30 points in 50 games, which is a winning percentage of .300, which is our worst season so far. I went back and pulled the numbers. So far, we've had 3 really bad seasons. The third worst was our first CHL season. We had 55 points in 66 games.
That was the Swander season? CHL
yes.
at Swander?
Yes, the last season at Swander. That was a .417 winning percentage. The second worst was our first ECHL season. We had 57 points in 72 games, which was a .396 winning percentage. And the worst was the inaugural AHA season, 32 points in 42 games, which was a .381 winning percentage. So we're going to have to get some points just to get up to that first inaugural season.
Yeah, it's not good.
No, it's going to be tough.
It's tough.
With this motley crew of misfits and hobblers.
And I know people are just looking for the silver lining and the bright side, but there is nothing that happens this year that has anything to do with next year. I mean, getting to watch a Brandon Wong or a Troy Rutkowski, a Miles Bell, that's awesome. But this whole team's getting blown up next year. I mean, there's no big trades. There's nothing. They're just looking for bodies to finish out the string. And then it's going to be reboot.
Yeah. Well, Sims said on ESPN Radio last week that, point blank, as anyone who has watched this team can tell, the defense just has not been good enough. And he expects to be making some moves to try to upgrade the defense. But what are you going to get at this point?
No, you can't. There's nothing out
guys
there.
Guys that are available are going to be available for a reason. And you're not in the position to be a buyer when it comes to building a team for the playoff race. So I'm sure he will try to make some moves, and he's had to make a lot of moves because of all the injuries. But at this point, the best thing that can happen to this team is just get some guys healthy.
Yeah.
But getting maybe those guys healthy
maybe is... Maybe get jerseys for all our Chucks.
Yeah, no kidding. So, yeah, it's 22 games left, and it's gotten to the point where there's so little to look forward to that the countdown to the next big promotion or next big game that I have on IcemanManiacs.com, usually it's, you know, the next big promotion that's within the next week or two. I already set it to the home finale.
There you go.
It's 40 some odd days until it's mercifully over. Yeah.
No doubt. Shockers Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
So since Valentine's Day was this past Saturday, this week's song is a tribute to my Valentine, my wife Amanda. She makes my dreams come true, and I'm saying that without my nose getting long or anything.
Or anything else.
Oh. What are you looking there for? So this is a song about making dreams come true. It's a song I often played during intermissions at Swander. It's also been featured in a bunch of movies through the years, including, for those who have seen it, a hilarious post-coitus scene, a dance montage in the movie 500 Days of Summer. You ever seen it?
The greatest scene in cinematic history. It is.
It's hilarious.
It is so perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good movie, but that is the best part of that entire movie. It's hilarious. So, from 1981, fittingly the year both Amanda and I were born, it's Hall & Oates, You Make My Dreams.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And Daddy.
And we're back. Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, Wired, Evansville, Indiana, tri-state, and around the world. Here we go. Mad speculation. Oh, by the other mad scientist, Dr. Shaki Boomba.
Indeed, Dr. Shaki Boomba. Normally, this segment features the Dr. Dirty D.
Is that what Amanda calls you after you listen to some Hall & Oates?
That's for me to know and you to not find out. So normally, this segment features the Dr. Dirty D diagnosing the mysterious injuries of Iceman players. But this week, the turns have been tabled.
What?
As the Dr. Dirty D himself is the patient under inspection. You see, we were planning on doing a show last week.
Yep.
But it got called off because my partner here was under the weather. But that is a very vague term.
Yes. And
were you way under the weather?
Yeah, I was way, way under the weather.
So that's a vague term. And our loyal listeners, all six of them,
yep,
want and deserve.
Counting Brad Perkins twice.
Yeah. They want and deserve to know the full story behind your absence. So after a thorough examination, including cavity inspections, Dr. Shaki Boomba is here to reveal the truth. I tested you for government-created killer nanorobot infection. That didn't pan out. I also tested you for spontaneous dental hydroplosion.
Yeah.
That also was a dead end.
I floss.
I even thought perhaps you had been stricken with Count Chocolitis.
Yeah.
But alas, in the end, my final determination was that you were suffering from a serious case of hot dog fingers.
What are hot dog fingers?
Hot dog fingers. Well, you'll just have to look it up online. You see, I got my PhD from WebMD. And that is, that's the source that I used in this diagnosis, sir. So the treatment for hot dog fingers, for those who don't know, and if you don't know the treatment for hot dog fingers, then what rock have you been living under?
No doubt.
You need a nice long ketchup and mustard bubble bath, followed by gently rubbing your buns with relish.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it indeed.
I bet you did. You're feeling better, so you must have liked
it. I am. I went into the doctor after being sick for 4 days, and he said, well, what's going on with you? I said, well, I looked it up on WebMD, and I'm dying. and he said, well, of course you are. So, yeah.
Good. What was it, just the flu?
With an inner ear infection,
ooh,
which caused vertigo.
Oh.
So I would wake up in the middle of the night or just any time. The room would just tilt and spin.
You were on an invisible tilt-a-whirl.
I was on an invisible tilt-a-whirl. And for decades, I can't do spinny rides. I can't do watching a TV show with a handheld camera. Any motion stuff just sends me right to Nauseaville. So me having vertigo was... oh,
not good.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. I did watch. All I could watch was hockey because I couldn't even watch movies because they shook too much. But I watched a lot of hockey. That was the only nice thing.
Hmm.
So
for those who don't get the references, all of those diseases, I won't reveal your source for your mad speculations, but all of the diseases I mentioned, plus the turns have been tabled phrase, mm-hmm, all tributes to The Office.
Ah, yeah. I did not realize that.
There was a season one episode called Healthcare where they were basically making up fake diseases, and those were some of them. Hot dog fingers is the one that's always stuck out in my mind as the most bizarre, goofy one. So there you have it.
The big O's.
That's bingo.
That's
reading is hard,
They're the big O's.
So to check in on our AHL affiliates, the Binghamton Senators, they actually won 2 out of 3 over the weekend. It started with a 3-2 win at Lehigh Valley on Friday, and it's notable for us because in that game, Guy Lapine had not only a fight but scored his first career AHL goal.
So awesome.
Very
so
cool.
So happy for him.
And then something really neat. Sunday and Monday, the BSens and the Toronto Marlies played a pretty cool home-and-home, not in their own arenas, but in the arenas of their NHL parent clubs. Sunday at the Canadian Tire Center in Ottawa, Scott Grenham made 37 saves as Binghamton won 5-2 in front of 8,559 fans, which is pretty darn good for an AHL game, but it was outdone big time on Monday at the Air Canada Centre in Toronto. The Marlies won 5-4 in front of, get this, 17,823 fans. That is a big crowd.
Yep.
That's more than the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville will hold when it's sold out.
Yeah,
so that's a big house for an AHL game.
Matt Shepke and Brian Patafi last year would talk about the Charlotte Checkers in the AHL. And back in the day when they first came on the scene and everyone was hockey crazy in the 90s, they were putting 17,000, 18,000 people in that building every night.
Yeah. You look through the ECHL, here in the ECHL, you look through the record book, and it's got some of the biggest crowds from the early days. When there was a team in Greensboro, North Carolina, they played at the Greensboro Coliseum, which holds like 24,000. And they got, I think they topped 20,000 a couple times for an ECHL game at that old barn. So, but yeah, you get, can you imagine 17,000 people watching a game, a minor league game?
Yep. Oh, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. And they got to see their Marlies win. So Binghamton is now 20-24-6 through 50 games. That's not good, but it's quite a bit better than what we've done through 50 games. But they are last in the East Division and Eastern Conference, and they're 28th in the AHL, just like we are 28th in the ECHL, but there are 30 teams in the AHL, so they're not DFL. They're just close.
When, and obviously the listening audience, all six of you, counting Brad Perkins twice.
Hi, Brad and Brad.
You know I'm a huge Maple Leaf fan, so there's probably bias here, but I was really disappointed when I heard that we were going to become affiliated with the Ottawa Senators. And it isn't, most of it is just silly Maple Leaf bias, but it is a poorly run organization.
It's really struggling.
With a horrible owner. They've had to have been bailed out multiple times. They've had paychecks bounce.
They've had credit line issues.
Yeah. And it is just, I mean, there's a reason why Danny Alfredson, the captain for 18 years, flat out left that organization. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to chase a ring in Detroit. It was, I am so sick of how I've been treated here. I'm leaving. And look at what, you know, this is a bad organization. They're going to draft top five or top six in the NHL. They've got a bad team in the AHL. And we get the players sent down from them. It's just, and we get at least one more year of this.
Yeah.
So the interesting thing is, not a fan.
This was the first time we signed a multi-year affiliation deal. And if only we would have been able to see all the upheaval that there was going to be this offseason, because there's going to be so many teams moving around, AHL, ECHL, all these transfers and teams moving and stuff. This year, this coming summer, would probably be the best time in recent memory for affiliations being available and being able to swap around and pick from multiple organizations that need an affiliate. And we're already locked into Ottawa for next year. That being said, next summer may very well be sort of the same way. We don't know how all these dominoes are going to fall in the minors yet. And if there's more movement after this year where you get more AHL teams moving because their NHL clubs want their affiliate closer, and the ECHL adds a couple more teams, there's going to be more movement around. So I would say there's no lock whatsoever that we will be with Ottawa beyond next year. But at this point, yeah, it's the way things have gone this year and the way Ottawa has been and the way Binghamton has been, it's it makes you wonder if next year is going to be just as long as this year.
I mean,
I hope not, but
you've got to go out. You've got to recruit your own team. You've got to put a solid team together. But to make the playoffs, you've got to get that help from your affiliate. They've got to send down the four or five guys that put you over the top. And we had Columbus last year, and it was all about Clemente and
Larkin
and Lavin. And
Langlois and Aliardi.
Yep. So, and that's what they've got to do. And I mean,
we got
looking
Wong.
Thin. Yeah, I know. And he's a beauty.
And Rutkowski.
Yeah.
He's here too.
Hockey 101.
So this is a question from Crystal Sadler. She said, can someone explain to me why the official would not let our guy out of the penalty box when his time was up? This is in reference to something that happened on Saturday, the 7th against Indy. We had three stacked minor penalties in the third period. Brandon Wong went in at 6:20, Peter Sakaris went in at 6:37, and Daniel Johnston went in at 7:29. So when Wong's penalty expired time-wise, the officials made sure that he remained in the penalty box. And people lost their marbles. Can you explain why they should not have been losing their marbles?
I can indeed. It's the hardest thing to deal with in hockey, especially at the youth level when you've got some mom who running the penalty box that has no idea what's about to happen. But you can never go lower than three skaters on the ice. So every time you take a penalty, someone has to go to the penalty box, and you don't replace that person.
Right.
But you cannot go below three. So when – who was the third penalty? When Johnston took his penalty, by normal NH or hockey thinking, it should have been a 5-on-2.
Right.
Because all three of them should have been in the penalty box. However, you can't go lower than three on the ice. So – if Wong comes out of the box when his penalty's over, you're back to 5-on-4. So that penalty to Johnston isn't being served. So it is called a stacked penalty, and Wong has to stay in the box until the second penalty is done to make it even. Because when all the penalties are done, that's when it goes back to 5-on-5.
Right.
If you don't do that, it'll be back to 5-on-5, and there'll still be a player in the box.
Right. Wong has to wait until the next whistle after his penalty has expired before he can come out. You cannot come out during play, because then the numbers get all screwed up. So they were
but
correct.
But he can, if Sakaris' penalty would have expired during the flow of play, then only one of those players
correct.
Can come out, and that's a decision by the captain
yes.
to say, you know,
which
who's
one
coming
them,
out.
Yeah, yep. it is not by default the second one whose penalty is expiring at that given time. It can be either one of the two whose penalty has expired.
Yep.
So, yeah, they did it where Sakaris came out when his penalty expired, and then at the following whistle, Wong came out.
Yep.
And then Johnson's was the only one on the board.
And but, it was still a 5-on-4 power play for Indy.
Right. But the way it happens is that third penalty, the clock does not start on that penalty until the first penalty is done.
Yes.
So basically, Wong's, even though Johnston went in the box at 7:29, because Wong went in the box at 6:20, and that expired at 8:20. Johnston's penalty didn't start until 8:20.
Yep.
So even though he only officially serves a 2-minute penalty, he was in the box for 3 minutes, give
yep.
or take. And that's just how it works, because you can't go more than two men down.
Yep.
And so they did it correctly.
Yes, it is a fantastic, fun part of hockey
yeah.
when you get to be that referee and
oh.
you start stacking them up.
And credit to one of the linesmen, and I don't know which one it was, but whichever linesman was on the penalty box side of the ice saw the clock running down on Wong's penalty, and he skated over because the play was in the far end, the end of the flags. So he skated up. He was the back linesman. He skated up to the penalty box and put his hand on the door and basically said, no, do not let this player out. And people were losing their mind and yelling at the officials and yelling at poor Jamie Huff. Like, she has any say in the matter. But, yeah, it
well,
was,
she does, and she was doing it right.
Yeah, exactly. So it is a very rare thing. You don't see it very often. I've probably only seen it maybe a dozen times in pro games in my life. You just don't see that
nope.
many minors in that quick a succession very often. But the funny thing is, it happened again in the same period. Indy had three stacked minors. So the same thing happened later in the period to the other teams. So I think we had that happen a few times at Swander in the early days, but that's been, I'm pretty sure that's the first time it's happened at the Ford Center, and then it happened twice in the same period.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Brian Patafi, tweet of the week.
B. Patafi, B-P-A-T-A-F-I-E. He said, quote, uh-oh, your Leaf radar should be going off.
Oh, hey, I already favorited this one.
He said, Brian Williams has been brought in to convince the Toronto Maple Leafs that they are a good team.
That's brilliant.
That's pretty good.
Got to.
Did you see the series of memes that went up online after that happened? People like photoshopping Brian Williams into historic events as if he was reporting there. Like he's on the moon with Neil Armstrong and all kinds of things. He was in, you know, when they tore down the Berlin Wall.
Awesome.
Pretty funny stuff.
Upcoming games all out of town.
Well, most of them. Unusual schedule over the next couple weeks for the Icemen. We play Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. That's odd. Tonight, Wednesday the 18th at Cincinnati. It's another wasted Wednesday with $1 beer over there. And also, the Cyclones are doing hipster night.
I like it to go with all that PBR that they're selling for a buck.
Yeah. What I love about hipster night is it actually says that the game will, quote, feature music from people you've never heard of.
Awesome.
At least they're honest.
Yep.
And then this Saturday, the 21st, the Icemen will be at Kalamazoo. It is our only game in Kalamazoo this season, and it is the K-Wing's 15th annual Pink Ice game for Susan G. Komen, so that's pretty cool.
Yep.
And they actually dye the whole ice pink. It's not the painting names on the ice like we did. Next Wednesday, the 25th, the Icemen are in Fort Wayne. That is the last game of this long season game, season-long seven-game road trip. Easy for me to say. And then next Saturday, the 28th, the Icemen finally return home for the first time in 3 weeks. The Cincinnati Cyclones come to town for the final time this season. Puck drops at 7:15 on the final day of February.
Had to kick the Icemen out of town for Princesses on Ice.
Oh.
That's what's going on over
at the
Ford Center. Yep. So we will be heading over there on Sunday afternoon.
Really?
Princesses and Heroes.
Are you going to don your tutu? And
no, I don't think so. Not this time. So, but
darn.
It'll be a lot of fun. Sweet goodness. I hope I get out of there for less than $50.
Don't count on it.
Oh, man.
If it's got Disney's name on it, you can't get out of there for less than that.
Madness. The Dangling Tangent.
So Saturday Night Live's 40th anniversary reunion special aired on NBC this past Sunday night, which brings me to the tangent this week. What are your favorite SNL sketches from through the years?
Man, it has been a long time since I've watched that show. Always loved the Chris Farley in the van down by the river. That one was really good. Man, and see, I go way back.
Chippendale sketch with Patrick Swayze was very good.
I didn't see, I've seen that, but I didn't see it while I was actually watching the show. I go back to the 70s, so Jim Belushi and Samurai Stockbroker was a pretty good skit that would come on over and over and over again. Oh, what else has there been? Oh, there's been so... Well, and of course, Wayne's World.
Well, yeah.
There was a time there where you were just watching that show just for Wayne's World,
right.
And then I think any time Christopher Walken has ever been on.
Yes, the cowbell sketch.
Yeah. Well, and he has one, too, when the census was going around late 90s, early 2000s. That is the funniest, probably the funniest sketch ever, where he's the Census Bureau comes and talks to him and is asking him questions, and he's like, how many kids do you have? He's like, 47, in his very Christopher Walken, and he's like, 47? Well, they're not all real. And it just goes on, and it is
driving a census worker crazy.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So
nice.
What about you?
I watched a lot of SNL in the probably mid to late 90s and early 2000s. But I do. I've watched a lot of the older classic early days. You know, you can't go wrong with the Blues Brothers. I really enjoyed Eddie Murphy, and the Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was really funny. And the classic Richard Pryor honky.
Yeah.
Dead honky. That's one of my favorite classic ones. But more recently in the 90s and early 2000s, I really enjoyed all the Celebrity Jeopardy ones with Will Ferrell as Alex Trebek. And I was very glad they did another one of those on the reunion special with Burt Reynolds as Turd Ferguson. The Roxbury Guys sketches I always enjoyed, especially the one when Jim Carrey was the guest host because it looked like he was dislocating his neck every time he did the head bob. And I've always enjoyed Weekend Update.
Yeah, Weekend Update.
I've always really enjoyed it. I think they do a really good job with it. You know, it's sort of the topical what's in the news jokes that you see on every talk show in the monologues, but there's something about the way SNL does it, and then interspersing in character bits and stuff. I always, probably my favorite character from Update was Bill Hader as Stefan with Seth Meyers, but that's probably more recent than you've ever watched.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. I don't watch it very much these days. I think the current cast is, for the most part, terrible. I think from the time I've been watching it, the best cast was the Will Ferrell, Chris Kattan era. But the more recent, when Tina Fey and Amy Poehler and Seth Meyers, and that was a pretty good cast too. But right now, it's just a dearth of talent, it seems like.
But is it the cast or is it the writers behind it?
Yeah, so that's that's part of the problem. Is I think the writers, I don't know. There was a time when SNL was really edgy, and it seems like now they're almost scared of being edgy. Because every now and then you'll see them do a sketch when you think, oh, this could get really good, and then it never does. It's like, if only they would take that extra two or three steps into really pushing the envelope, but it doesn't seem like they do it anymore. So, yeah, I think the talent is one thing, but, yes, the writing is certainly another.
Oh, no, Mr. Bill was always a favorite, too, from back in the
70s. Mm-hmm.
Final thoughts.
Before we get into our next show, wanted to mention current Brampton Beast Ford and former Iceman Ford. What's his name again?
Jason Dale.
He had surgery recently to remove a bone in his hand. I don't know what that means or why you would need to remove an entire bone from your hand, but he did. And is out 6 to 8
Maybe
weeks.
Maybe he's giving it to Chris Anderson so that he can hold a stick.
Craig?
Or Craig Anderson.
Yeah, that.
I knew Chris Anderson wasn't right.
Dale is out 6 to 8 weeks, so get well soon to... Yep. What's his name again?
Jason Dale.
Ooh, yeah.
I hope he sticks with that club. Interested to see Brampton next year. Not sure if we'll make the trip up there or not, but they're in the E now, and they've got an owner that likes to spend, and he wants to win, and he wants to capture part of that Toronto market, and I hope Jason gets to stay along with that
team. Become part
of
their core, yeah. I hope they come here at least once just so we can hear O Canada at the Ford Center.
Yeah, that would be
Really cool. Now that we have the Canadian flag back and hung properly.
Yep, there you go. Next show, we don't know.
Yeah,
2 weeks.
Definitely not next week. Maybe the week after that, we'll see. But you're going to be out of town next week, right?
Yep, I'm out of town. Well, depending on the weather, I guess.
Yeah.
It depends what I have to drive through. So.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no show next week, more than likely. 2 weeks, we'll be back. I'll be back, at least.
I'll be back.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of IcemanManiacs.com, and you've been listening to Iceman Insights, part of the Amusement Park Show, only on 96.9 FM, WYIR. And, of course, thank you again to Andy Fuller and everyone here at the Youth Ministry. 23 years, Youth Incorporated. Been reaching out to area youth. Yep, pretty awesome. So, coffee shop, venue, all the information. You can find it on Facebook. Just search Wired.
Awesome. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.